is Kaya Biz
with Gule Tumfupi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959.
It's 26 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, we're shifting gears now to a very interesting story that I found and the team and I were discussing from MoneyWeb earlier today. And it really speaks about the concept of more and more municipalities moving to increase taxes and tax game farmers as businesses. And for many of us, we perhaps don't necessarily consider game farming as a business, or maybe not even aware as to how it's run as a business. And of course, its impact on municipalities, but it speaks to a need for clearer understanding of these business dynamics. And of course, the ripple effects regarding taxes and the history behind charges of municipal rates. Well, we've got two guests joining us this evening to give us some clarity on this particular story and giving us some insight as well as to what the ripple effects might be, not only on the local economies of municipalities, but also on the industry of game farming. I'll start off by welcoming my first guest, Ben Esbach, who's Director of Valuations at Rates Watch. Later we'll be joined by Jacques Blau, who is from the Waterberg Tourism Authority there. But Ben, good to have you with us, and thank you so much for making time.
Good evening, Google.
I trust I pronounced your last name correctly, Esbach?
Yes, spot on.
There we go. Ben, thank you so much for making time. And I must say, you have a very interesting background in terms of being Director of Valuations at RatesWatch. And that puts you in the perfect position for us to see clarity on the background regarding rate policies and the Municipal Properties Act. Perhaps that's where we should start before understanding what impact this has on game farmers. Give us some clarity here, please, Ben.
Yeah. You know, because I think maybe we, before one focuses on the issue on the game farms, it's important to have an understanding of where it comes from, and the empowering legislation is the Municipal Property Rights Act, the MPRA for short, that was enacted in 2005 and then major changes in 2015, and that is the legislation that guides us. Municipalities to levy rights. I think one of the issues there, when the definition for agricultural property was amended, we made some waves then, and maybe let me just share that definition with the listeners.
Please, yeah, because we make the assumption that agricultural property is just property used for farming, right?
Yeah, but you see, the definition reads, agricultural property means a property that's used primarily for agricultural purposes. That's your farming.
Got you.
And then it goes, but it excludes any portion there that is used commercially for the hospitality of guests. So if you have a game farm or any farm where you have a lodge on, that part is excluded from the agricultural purpose part, which makes sense. I don't think you would expect that the lodge would pay the same type of rights than the agricultural activity. But
why would that be? Would the assumption be that the lodge would actually make use of greater resources, water, electricity, as a result they'd have to pay more taxes?
No, and it's I think the lodge is more a business, although farming is a big business, but farming is producing food for the country, and there must be food security, which is important. Yeah, so that is why the lodge, for instance, should not be taxed at the same level. But then it goes on to say, it also excludes the use of the property for purposes of ecotourism or for the trading in or hunting of game. So even there, you can see the legislator made the distinction between the agricultural activity like cattle farming or sheep farming or for grazing or where you plant millets and where there is trading in or hunting in game.
Got you. That provides a lot more clarity and gives us some insight here. And I'm already concerned because it seems as though the waters are muddied and full of confusion. And now it just seems as though it's going to face even more confusion. So where are we now in terms of the current tax practices and payment practices of game lodges when it comes to municipal rates and fees?
Yeah, So the concern is not the game lots. The concern is the rest of the property mm-hmm. that is used as a game farm.
Okay.
And I believe that most of the game farms up to now were taxed at the same rate than the normal agricultural property. Mm-hmm. And just to give some more info, more background, there is some protection for agricultural properties in the sense that there's a regulation. There are regulations that don't allow a tariff that's higher than 25% of the tariff for residential property.
Sure.
So there is some protection coming from the legislator. But the moment you now take out the game farm from the farming, from the agricultural activity, then what obviously happened then is those farms are then categorized as businesses.
Mm.
And the tariff for that can be between 10 and 15 times higher than what the owners used to pay. And I don't think that is healthy for the business, for the game farming environment.
Definitely not, especially if we take a look at the broader macroeconomic prospects there. Ben, I'm going to ask you to pause it, but do stay with us on the line, please, because we do want to keep you in touch with this conversation. As you've mentioned, you've touched on the potential increases there on the municipal taxes and fares for game farms, which will increase more significantly than what has currently been charged under the agricultural farming tax regime there. And Ben, we now joined by Jacques Blau, who joins us from the Waterberg tourism area to also comment on this particular conversation on the back of the article that we initially saw on MoneyWeb. Jacques, welcome to the show and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having us.
Indeed. A very interesting story. And I think for many of us who aren't within the agricultural space, hearing Ben elaborate on the various taxes and the structure and the reasoning behind it, it does lead to a lot of confusion. But as Ben has highlighted, the significant increases, anything of between 10 to 15% extra on what game farms are currently paying, help us unpack the potential economic impact here and the concerns about these municipal rate increases.
Yeah, well, let me maybe for the listeners quantify what we are talking about.
Sure.
And we did an exercise through one of our local agricultural unions where we looked at 1,000 hectare property valued at 7.5 million, where previously they would have paid 6,500 rand taxes. Now they have to pay 93,000 rand of tax.
Excuse me? That's a huge jump.
And that's the issue that we have. Now, Ben has mentioned, you know, that I don't think our engagement with our local municipality, we also didn't argue that a lodge and so on could be seen as commercial activity and be rated as such.
Mm.
However, multiple use allows for multiple use on one property, but then the account system should be built that way. And what we find in the local municipalities, especially you know, in the rural areas, is that their account systems are not often set up like that, or they don't set it up like that. So what happens now, instead of the 1 or 2 hectares that's used for lodge activity, the whole 1,000 hectare farm is now being taxed at the higher rates. So that's the one issue. The other one is, you know, if you really get down to the practical implementation of what the Act is trying to achieve and what's happening on the ground, you cannot separate farming activity, because in Limpopo, we've just come through a 7-year drought. You know, like all the other farmers, and especially then game farmers, we've just come through COVID-19, where basically their lifeline in terms of ecotourism, in terms of hunting, has been cut due to the disaster that we all have to face. So they've had years of challenges, but now on top of that, we want to go and tax them, you know, at a much higher rate, and that is what we are arguing. It's not sustainable.
Mm.
There's no relevance, you know, in terms of affordability or sustainability in what's on the table, and that's what we're pushing, especially in our local authority, for a rational discussion on how did they, number one, get to the rate, because Section 3.3 of the Act is very clear. They have to, it has to be fair and equitable.
So they haven't disclosed that calculation and how it's come about?
Well, we've shared this calculation. Mm-hmm. Our community structures have engaged the municipality since 2018. Now, we've had reasonable success in terms of separating the issues, because I think there's a lot of confusion between the valuation of a property and then the application of rates on a property.
Gotcha.
You know, it's two very separate processes. The one is, you know, defined by the Municipal Rates Act, where there's valuation that happens on a property, but then the municipality is the one that needs to give effect. Now, you know, for the listeners out there that might deal with their local municipalities, it's very important that they have a look. Is there a bylaw that's been written and promulgated? Is there policy defining what the Act is intentionally asking them to do? And then finally, has the tariffs been promulgated? Because those are all issues that now we have gone into dispute now, and we want answers on. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you can imagine if a farmer has to deal with all these issues because of drought, a lot of them change their cattle farming to game farming because you can carry more livestock on a farm then. But now suddenly, because of a definition that speaks against other definitions, as far as agricultural is concerned, now they suddenly face, 10 to 15 fold increases in taxes.
Sure.
You know, that is just not a reasonable picture, you know, to ask for rational behavior on.
Far from it, especially I fully understand on the back of the kind of current business environment that we have post-COVID, businesses that have been struggling, of course, looking at models to pivot and find new innovative ways to drive increased revenue for their farms. I'm keen to understand what you've described, Jacques, sounds like a broken system, though, from a municipal point of view, unable to tally and qualify details. You also mentioned that the account setups and implementation is also problematic. Is there any engagement as well with the municipalities to see how this can change or evolve? Or perhaps is it a systematic problem that we're dealing with?
I think, speaking about Sabazimbi, we've been fortunate that the community has organized themselves in formal structures over the last 8 to 9 years. And we've gone about the engagement process from the beginning. Now, we haven't always been successful, but we've at least participated, you know, in the public participation meetings that's been scheduled. And we've put forward comments on the issues that we see. And you know, our approach has never been one to fight. It's to find a solution that is fair.
Mm.
Because I haven't spoken to one farmer that says that he will pay what is due, but it has to be fair. You know, at the end of the day, then there's a responsibility on the municipality to have the systems and things in place to apply fair rates. But you cannot continue to, you know, have such, you know, below standard infrastructure development, below standard basic service delivery, and then just expect to cover those gaps, you know, by increasing rates and taxes.
Gotcha.
I think that's where we need to draw the line and say, well, let's first look at what the Act is intending. And then on the other side, let's make sure that your systems can speak to multiple use and having an account out to the landowner that applies the multiple use principle. But don't go out and then just tax 1,000 hectares with the highest rates that you can find.
Mm-hmm. On this, very briefly, to stay with you, Jacques, where are we in these conversations? Is there any clarity as to where these negotiations might end up? How long might it take?
I can say that we've been engaging the municipality 4 years. 4 years ago, it's the first time they've tried to sneak in the game farm rate into our policy or in our tariff schedule. We haven't had answers on all the matters, but at least we've had a credible valuer that's been appointed and that has been on a 5-year contract, so that we see as a positive where there's market-related valuations happening. The second thing is that at least they're starting to hear the argument, and we've tried to use other mechanisms like the application of rebates that a municipality can do that's within their rights to try and get some relief. But our argument is that the very first time they introduced the game rate, that wasn't publicly participated on. So we never had time to fully comment. And that's a dispute that we are carrying forward and that we are now trying to gain momentum on, because this is not just the Tapazimbi issue or Waterberg issue. This, in my view, is a national issue for anyone involved in game farming.
Got you. Thank you so much for that clarity there, Jacques. But before we let you go, Ben, I'd also just like to get your feedback on this. As Jacques mentioned, it can be fair. There's ongoing engagement. But how do you see this playing out in the best case scenario to, number one, keep these game farms afloat, but also make it fair on municipalities to also not only receive the revenue they need, but also keeping them accountable to deliver the necessary services that are required, right?
Yeah, because I think it's important just to explain the process. Jacques referred to the category. So the category comes from a rights policy, which every municipality, and there are 213 municipalities in South Africa, so every municipality must have a rights policy, and that is revised annually. Now, in the rights policy, they create different categories, and that is for the differential rating. So you would know that you don't pay the same amount of rights on a residential property as compared to a business property. And as I've explained, farms of agricultural properties pay only a quarter of the rights or the tariff than compared with residential. So every year during the budget process, the draft policy is then tabled, and then it's open for public participation. And I think that was what Jock was referring to. So ratepayers must engage the municipalities and be aware of these changes. This whole process, when I had a look at the Mangaung Bloemfontein rights policy, they have now included properties used for purposes of trading and hunting of game in their business category. So that's on the table for the game farms in the Bloemfontein area.
Got you.
So and that's not the only municipality where it's happening. So ratepayers must be aware of the draft tariffs and the draft policies. That's currently in the public domain for participation and for comments.
Got you. Well, it's definitely a story that we'll follow up on. And I think we've also been educated, right, on understanding the differences of these policies, these rates, and of course, the business case behind game farms and why it is that they even exist in order to keep, families, businesses, communities going, and also unpacking some of the needs that they require in terms of services as well. Thank you so much, gentlemen. We'll definitely be following up on this particular conversation with you both. That was both Ben Esbach, Director of Valuations at RatesWatch, and Jacques Blau, who is from the Waterberg Tourism, giving us some insight into an ongoing developing story regarding how local municipalities are choosing to charge game farms much higher taxes in terms of the revenues that they're looking to collect from them. It's one that really speaks to concerns in this particular environment, but we'll definitely follow up on it.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.